Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Dave Sands. Welcome to the Food Origins Podcast. I'll be talking to people about their unique stories with food. And as a quick reminder, the restaurants and gear talked about on each episode can be found on my website, foodoriginspodcast.com. I appreciate your support. Thanks for listening. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Food Origins Podcast. Today, my guest is Wyatt Fields, the owner and pitmaster of Breakwater Barbecue. After 5 jam-packed years of full service, catering for weddings and some of the biggest tech companies in the Bay Area and everything in between, Wyatt decided to take the next step in his journey and open a small storefront on the coastal town of El Granada, California, right before the pandemic started in 2020. Located where the Princeton Harbor Jetty meets the Coast Highway, hence the name Breakwater. It's a special location to Wyatt. It's where he went to elementary school, formed lifelong friendships, and stood up on his first wave. Wyatt brings his own craft of traditional smoked Texas and Carolina barbecue to his hometown, which has always been his goal. I really enjoyed catching up with Wyatt on location and enjoyed talking to him about his origins and all things barbecue. Appreciate everybody for listening. Thanks for your support. Enjoy the episode. All right, we're rolling.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for being on. I'm here with Wyatt Fields. He's the owner of Breakwater Barbecue, and we are on location right here in El Granada, California. Next to Half Moon Bay, for those folks that don't know where we are. And thanks for being on, Wyatt.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you on. And yeah, we got a lot to talk about, and especially some mutual people.
Absolutely.
Shout out to my brother, Mike. You know, you guys go way back.
Yeah, Mike.
And we had no idea until a few days ago, not even a couple days ago, that you guys kind of grew up together, served together. And let's just get into it. You know, tell us where you're from, where you grew up, all that good stuff.
Yeah. I'm from here, actually. So Half Moon Bay general area, but Monterra is where I was born and raised. So that's the first little town as you come south over Devil's Slide. So I lived there, you know, as I was born up until about second grade, and then moved all around the Half Moon Bay area. My mom kind of had us moving around to different spots here, but all lucky enough to be right here, right by the water, which was great. And good, nice, small community.
Yeah, and I mean, you pretty much grew up right down the street from here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, even this building that we're in right now, I was cruising around here on my BMX bike when I was a little kid, and the elementary school right down the street here, which is less than a half a mile away, just riding. You know, this is the type of town where you can just ride your bike down to the elementary school with your little buddies and stuff. So I remember just doing that, and yeah, it was pretty unique and pretty lucky to.
We are looking, you know, fortunate to be set up here, looking right out the ocean, and get into that a little bit.
Beautiful.
And you know, it's all about food. We talk about kind of your origins. What kind of food did you eat growing up?
You know, so pretty much everything.
Yeah.
I wasn't a really picky kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of kids are definitely picky eaters, but I just kind of, you know, I would eat whatever. You know, my mom, after the sixth grade, my father left the house, and she was a single mom, you know, and we didn't have much money. So anything that she'd cook, you know, I would be eating. She made a lot of like stews, you know, something that could last for a few days, with a lot of leftovers and stuff, big plates of enchiladas, stuff like that. So pretty, you know, pretty normal stuff. But there was a little grilling involved back in the day as well, too, that I remember. And I was always kind of fascinated with that whole aspect, even from being a little tiny kid, just being like, whoa, you know, just watching it, because, you know, you'd see the grill come out and then everyone, it didn't matter who was there, you know, everyone would be kind of gravitated to that, like looking, you know, whether they're all hanging out or drinking beers or whatever, you know, people would always kind of gather around the grill or any type of you know, a little setup like that. And yeah, that was always something that fascinated me.
Yeah, so that kind of piqued your interest early, right? Early on.
100%. Yeah, that whole just the vibe of people coming around, you know, a grill or, you know, I just remember just the old Weber kettle grills. You know, everyone had those in their backyard, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just something pretty cool. And one of my earliest memories with food was, you know, that type of setup.
Yeah. Any beach stuff too, beach barbecues and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. You know, early on. So I basically have just kind of been an industry person since I was around 14 years old. Got my first job here in Montera it was called the Chart House. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of them back in the day and all throughout California, and super popular family spot, the type of place you'd go when you're a little kid for birthdays and stuff like that, like family, you know, whatever, coming to town. But I got a job at the salad bar, 14 years old over there, and met a guy. His name was Forrest Farrar, super eccentric artist dude, owned, which is now it's called The Press, but it used to be called Cafe Classique. And he used to bring me to beach barbecues back in the day, and it was caterings, and I would just help bus tables, whatever. But it was just so cool. I remember just like, you know, how everything was set up and just being on the beach. And he would always set up like a Big John grill, one of those big 6-foot grills that kind of has like the three levels where you'd put the coals on and stuff. And you always have one of those things running and early on. So that was like 14, 15. And just, just the beach barbecue thing was definitely something that was like, this is what I want to do, you know, out of any style, like 14, 15 years old, I want to be somewhere, you know, where I could be outside and enjoying, you know, working. And then also just like, you know, making food out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a few people tell me you're quite the surfer. Did you pick up surfing that early or later on?
Yeah, you know, the beach, that was another family style thing that we would do. We'd get down there, you know, even, you know, early on, shoot, I guess, like, you know, first, second grade boogie boarding and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Yeah. I remember the first time I I tried surfing, my sister got a surfboard for Christmas because we lived across the street from the surfboard shaper, and I remember being so jealous because I got the boogie board and she got the surfboard. I'm like, oh my god. She's like, do not touch this board. I'm like, oh, give me that. I was like,
is she third older? Grade.
Yeah, she's 4 years older okay. than me. But then I got my hands on it after, you know, finally begging, like after a year. And then my first session, I think I smacked myself in the just right above the eye. I had 3 stitches, and like I remember I was like, oh man, I'm done with surfing. But then I picked it back up in like sixth grade, and that was like me and my buddies would ride our bikes down there and then surf all day and freaking, you know, that's my earliest memories of just riding the bike, always riding the bike down to the jetty here, which is right across the street from the restaurant right here, the breakwater. The old guys would call it the breakwater instead of the jetty. And that's kind of where I came up with the name Breakwater Barbecue, because I felt like it just kind of rolled off the tongue, right, you know, and plus all the older cats would call it, you know, the breakwater, not the jetty, you know.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, you know, we're right close to the Princeton Harbor jetty meets the Coastal Highway, mm-hmm. and then some of you guys, local guys, will know there's a half pipe on the east side of the road, and then Pillar Point is just a, you know, half mile up or mile up the road as well.
Yep, you got Mavericks, just, you know, obviously the main, you know, that and Pumpkins and you know, oh, I guess barbecue now. No.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a big attraction.
And I
here,
think
so.
That's kind of what, you know, what piqued my interest too when I, you know, we come down here once in a while and there isn't a ton of barbecue spots around, and you're definitely got one of the key ones in the in the Bay Area even, I'd say.
Yeah, thanks. I remember when back in the day, there was a place called Steve's Blue Pacific, and they were in, there's a little sandwich spot in there now called Gherkins, but it was a guy, I don't think he did brisket, but he did like a lot of jerk chicken and stuff. And this was like early 90s. But yeah, he was an OG here in this little area. And then obviously you got Gorilla up there, Baki doing his thing up there in Pacifica.
Pacifica, yeah.
But I don't, you know, as far as like craft, craft term is kind of a tricky term, but I think it's a good term because of it basically just means cooking barbecue on an offset smoker.
Yeah.
And that whole process. But there's a lot of guys, you know, Memphis Minis, like I say, Chicago Pizza down there. I know I'm forgetting a lot.
Yeah, but and we can get into some of those guys later. Yeah. There's some new guys in the game as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Matt Horn is another one.
Yeah,
out in
good
Oakland.
Friend of mine, yeah.
And so, you know, kind of going back to kind of your journey through mm-hmm. this area, you know, you, I think you were a bartender too. Were you bartending in yeah. the city? Is that right?
Yeah. You know, I've done a lot of different things. But I was actually moved up to San Francisco after, let's see here. Around 2010, I moved up to the city, and that was actually to pursue more of my cooking and then this whole catering career path. But then a friend of mine had a bar called John Collins downtown. It was off Minna Street. And
it was a cool spot.
It was so fun. Yeah. I had to drag myself out of there because it was like too much fun. It was just like, oh my God, this place rules.
DJs and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so much fun. And the owners are good friends of mine and everyone I worked with, I loved them. So it was just, we all just have just a shit ton of fun. So worked there and I was just going to, doing little cooking classes, in between. I was, interning at a butchery off Bryant Street called Pacific Coast Meats. Mm-hmm. Super nice guy, Mike, which was super key because back then he would hook me up with briskets and like at like costs or even some, you know, free ones. And I would like just study brisket, you know, writing notes, the weather, everything, just, you know, and thanks to him, because otherwise, like, I wouldn't be able to afford all that, you know, to practice, because it's, you got to get your reps in something like barbecue. You got to just cook all the time. And that was something that I was focusing on between bartending and whatnot. So, but yeah, that living up there around that time in 2010 was just, the energy was just unreal. I'm sure, you know, cause you said that, you know, you were from the Sunset.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Giants won that World Series and then they just kept winning and winning. I was like, holy shit, this is insane. So it was a great time to be bartending down there. And then, you know, I went to this little tiny little cooking school, anything that, you know, any type of little like cooking stuff I could pick up, classes on my days off or whatever. That was the cool thing about bartending, because you'd work at night and then you can go and do these other things during the day or whatever you wanted to do and learn. So I was doing that because I couldn't afford the whole culinary school thing. You know what I mean? At that time, I was just like, I consulted with a bunch of chefs and they're like, you know what, just intern. You know, reach out to people, learn that way, you know, get the hands-on experience. And another key spot I was at this kind of old school club called the Pacific Union Club. It's on California Street in between the Cathedral and the Fairmont. It's like this brown mm-hmm. building, trippy old school place. But I worked there in the catering department. It's a seasonal gig. But it was crazy. French chefs, and it was like you had to have your shit together. You had to be clean. You had to be groomed. Old school kind of, you know, you get yelled. You get yelled at a lot. But I remember begging the chef there because he'd come into John Collins. And he's like, oh, you want to learn to cook? It's super French. You know, I don't know if that accent's right. But anyway, I'm like, yeah, right. Man. Yeah, yeah, cool. I do, you know. And he's like, all right, come in. So he, you know, he whipped my ass in there. And then, shit, even at that time I was – also doing brunch. A friend of mine was the chef at 15 Romolo in North Beach. And so I got a little bit of reps in there doing brunch, getting my ass handed to me there. So I just kind of like figured out a path to learn, you know, because of not being able to, or just choosing not to go to the culinary school route, which is, you know, so that's kind of something.
Yeah, I mean, even at that time, I actually went through the hospitality mm-hmm. and management program at City College.
Oh, that is actually one of the best programs out there.
Agreed.
I'm like 100% because it's cheap and it's killer. Yeah, I wish I would
have
done
that. And I
didn't
know, I didn't, my only because my dad knew there was an architect teacher, professor teaching architecture there. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, they got a decent cooking program if your son's interested, because I thought I was going to do something else. And then mm-hmm. that's where I went. And yeah. I mean, the CIA was $60,000 back then.
And then they got sued and everyone was like collecting checks because they're
just not a good ratio of learning. Like you're sitting in a big class. So it's just their class environment is not ideal for cooking.
Sure.
And, you know, it's it doesn't always have to work out that way. And obviously, you know, at one point mixed in there, were you working at Aqua as well?
Yeah, that was actually, you know, a little bit after graduating from high school. I did a short stint down in Oceanside. I moved after I graduated high school, moved down to Oceanside, and I was a sales rep for a surfboard company called Xanadu Surfboards, pretty famous brand. Worked down there, met a lot of good people down there, really liked that area. And then I moved back, and you know, I just started working at Aqua, met Alex and Devin. I met your brother there, and I managed the shop there. I, you know, quote unquote managed, but you know, it was that was a good time, you know, and just meeting everyone then. I, you know, that was like a shoot. Was that maybe like 2003 or something like that?
Yeah,
that's back in the day. And then I was living in Half Moon Bay, just commuting. I mean, just only like, you know, 20 minutes without traffic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I did that. And yeah, but always just been a sunset. It's always been a part of my, you know, early life surfing and hanging out.
Yeah. And then moving to, you know, once you got into, you know, kind of digging into more cooking and kind of like, you know, figuring out your journey through barbecue. What were you, that's what I was going to ask you, is what did you start cooking on when you were testing like brisket and stuff like that?
Yeah. So big shout out. Oops, sorry about that. Move the table there. big shout out to Colin O'Malley, who owned part of John Collins. He just had this just little like Home Depot smoker, and he's like, hey man, I have no room for this thing, and you can keep it at your house if you want. I'm like, oh really? I'll take great care of it, you know. And that was about the time I was working at the butchery, so he let me keep it at my house, man. I smoked in that thing with those briskets that I got from that butchery, like until there was holes in the firebox. And that's where I was doing my writing and stuff and all that. And then keeping the little journals and stuff. But I started on that and then eventually got some other pit, shipped it in from Texas. Just like, I think it was like, now it's like, it's, I still have the pit. It's like 150 gallon. But you know, that was legit. I remember getting, you know, graduating from that Home Depot smoker that I just burned holes through, you know, and like,
yeah,
it was basically like a tin can, but you know what? I didn't give a shit. Like this thing just like, it was just all about just learning and having fun. And then, yeah, eventually graduated up to that other pit, which I still have. but yeah, that was my first kind of vessel. And then I have an Argentinian grill I got, and yeah, I just made kind of like a little like area, because you know the backyards and the sunset, you know, they all have like pretty nice, you know,
it's pretty nice space.
Yeah, it's a nice space. It's perfect for grilling as long as you have cool neighbors, which I did. Everyone kind of kept to themselves. But got a lot of reps in there and around in the sunset and on that smoker particularly.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then you got into, you know, then you really got in heavy into cooking and you started your own catering company, Native Catering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us about that and then, you know, kind of lead us into where we are today.
Yeah.
Breakwater.
Yeah. So Native Catering, that was huge. So that was in between working at John Collins. You know, I was lucky enough to have really good shifts at John Collins, so I could get the shifts covered. If I had a wedding or something, I started doing friends' weddings, and then it just snowballed from there. I always had a grill and smoking, you know, Texas-style brisket. That was like, you know, what we were known for. But then I just kind of did, you know, new American dishes on the side of that, mix it with kind of fresh vegetable sides, a little appetizer menu on there as well. But I kept getting so much shifts covered that I was just like, you know what, I need to like, you know, think about this. I got to either, you know, I got to lock this thing down and leave the bar because, and you know, really just kind of go for it.
Yeah.
So my first catering kitchen was Luke's Local. It was off Cesar Chavez, and I got to meet just so many cool people there, different makers, you know, different people in the industry, and we all shared a catering kitchen there. And that's ended, you know, I ended up leaving John Collins and then going back or just doing, you know, Native Catering full time because it got really busy and we started getting to a lot of clients. But yeah, it was nerve wracking at first, for sure.
For sure. Just you know, going all in.
Right? Yeah. Cause you're like, oh God, can I do this? You know, am I going to have enough people? How can I make my rent? You know, all that. But glad I did because it just kind of, you know, got me to where I am now. And Native was just such a cool experience, but it was like a fire drill every single weekend, just throwing stuff into the van and going all across the Bay Area, even up to like Napa and stuff, you know, in traffic, and you're wrangling employees, wondering if people are going to show up, you know. It was crazy, man. Like, Native catering was just absolutely insane, you know.
Yeah, so, but I think it's put you where you are.
Yeah, and then, it did.
So you did that for almost 5 years, right?
Yeah, almost 5 years. And between even that time, I was always kind of looking down in my hometown here in Half Moon Bay. I'm like, God, I love smoking meats. I love making barbecue. They need a barbecue place. So I was always looking. Almost to the point where I almost kind of gave up, you know, which is weird because I was just like, you know what, like maybe it's just not going to happen. But the current spot we're in right now is Hop Dogma Brewery used to be here back in the day before us. I called the lady and I just said, hey, you know, I knew that the place was empty and I just wanted to, I was still living in the Sunset at that time. And just, hey, can you just, you know, keep me in mind if you're looking for somebody? And I think I was first on the list. So she called me and then that's, you know, that's a whole nother story. So now we're here, but
and this is a historic building, huh? It's got, you know, it's been here,
you know. I don't know if it's, you know, clarified as that, but it's been here I think since 1981, 82 or something. Okay. Like that. So it's an older building. Yeah,
and there's a couple other things in here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a chiropractor upstairs, a solar guy. Yeah, so we share with a few different people here. But yeah, it's a pretty unique spot. Did not have a kitchen here when I went in here, so I had to go through the whole permitting process and dealing with the county, which I was just a little, like, you know, wet behind the ears within that whole process. And I just, yeah, it was, I learned a lot about, like, you know, starting something from like ground zero. And I learned, that was wild.
And then let's get into it. You started, you opened in 2019, right?
Is that when you opened? No, 2019, I was in construction here. So we were messing with the permits. We were trying to, like, you know, back and forth, the architect and, like, you know, and then the county would be like, nope, you can't do that. Then we'd have to do another drawing and then, you know, go back down there. Hey, is this cool? Nope, you can't do that. And then it's just, you know, left, right. And I almost got to the point where I was like, you know what? Like, I can't do this anymore. I was going to talk to my partners and say, hey, guys. Over a year straight with dealing with the county, year, finally, like, something broke. And I think it was like after our, like, shoot, maybe eighth revision, going back with the architects and then, you know, looking at our bank account being like, I don't have any more money to do this. Like, you know, I don't know how I'm going to, you know, have enough money to have the meat and just to be open after this. This is insane. Like, so finally they gave us our permit and that just felt like such a huge win. And then one of my partners, actually great, he's a contractor and he's the guy that helped us, you know, build the kitchen out. You know, that took about 3 months. So it was all in all about a year and 3 months. And then we did our first pop-up in here and that was 1 week before the initial shutdown in 2020. And I remember doing that first pop-up and I remember being so nervous, like I was going to puke, you know. I was like, oh, everyone's coming here and they're going to, you know, they see the spot that, you know, they've been, you know, they want to have barbecue. And I was so damn nervous, but it went super good. And then 1 week later, that was that first shutdown. And it was just like, oh my God, I just felt like collapsing. Just like, I can't even believe this. So we've just been running on adrenaline literally since that day. Just like, it was just been freaking insane. Yeah, so but we're still here and we're talking now. So
you are, and you know, hats off to you for that, for powering through all that. For many of the places around here did that. And how did you power through that? And we'll kind of get into some details. I want to hear, you know, what kind of smoker and the cool trailer that's out front, parked out front. But how did you deal with that pandemic? And then tell us, you know, about all the details with Breakwater.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, obviously barbecue can, you know, take out. It's very good for that. Mm-hmm. So we switched and we learned how to do takeout very fast. We had the community support, which was great. So we just you know, we just basically just moved everything to that takeout model. You know, I had a couple friends were helping me out. Thanks, Greg, Shannon, obviously my girlfriend, Holly. It was so huge. We all worked together in that first, basically the first year of that pandemic, you know. And then, you know, they were shutting the beaches down. No one come in, this and that. I'll never forget. It was, I think it was like the 4th of July, 2020. It was like 80 degrees here. And I remember the waves were actually really, really, really good right across the street. And I remember thinking, like, if there was no shutdown right now, there would probably be thousands of people right there. And there was, it was just dead. And it was, you know, it was an kind of an eerie like feeling, you know,
because for
you
sure.
wanted to be excited. You wanted to be just like, I got this new place. I want everyone to come in. I want my friends here. I want God, you know, I want people to come in and out, my family here, and, you know, have barbecue, have some beers. It just wasn't like that, you know, and it just was just like really strange feeling of like having this minted, you know, the setting up the spot the way you wanted to set it up. And then just being like, you'd have to just, you know, here you go. But, you know, we weren't unique. It was, you know, everyone was having to deal with this, all these, you know, these other restaurateurs, and then people in all these other industries. It was just, everyone was just kind of like, oh, shit, what the hell? We have never dealt with it, you know, so we're all learning on the fly. But luckily, you know, the community helped us and kept us in business, because it was just, you know, it's just, you know, go to the store, you know, call the purveyors, get the meat in there, season it up, barbecue, you know, count the money, you know, pay the employees and keep going, you know. And that's how it was. It was like there was no cushion in the back at all because of what we had to deal with in 2019.
And you just started, so it was full bore no matter what. You're going to get through it.
Or not, you know. If you don't get through it, then you're dead. You don't just like, it's like being out in the ocean sailing or something, and then all of a sudden a storm comes through and you're sailing, and you're like, you don't just stop sailing, you just got to keep, you know, keep going, dude. Like, otherwise you're freaking gone, you know?
So you're gonna get lost. And
So that's like been my metaphor, just kind of, you know, whatever, keep going, keep sailing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
And so, you know, let's get into Breakwater. Tell us, you know, I love barbecue along with the many others. Tell the listeners what kind of smoker you're using. Tell us about that cool trailer you got. You know, did you build it? Someone built it for you? And what's in there?
Yeah, that's my man Drew down at Harper Barbecue. He's in Costa Mesa. I found him actually through Craigslist. I was looking for offsets, and at the time, there really wasn't a lot. Now you see him everywhere. Everyone's got, you know, a barbecue blog. Everyone's, you know, doing this, the latest thing. But, you know, in California, or especially the Bay Area, at that time, there wasn't a lot of offsets. I was looking everywhere for these things. And I found Drew. He was, you know, he's just an amazing welder. So I hit him up. I had a drawing actually before I hit Drew up, and it literally, he sent me, or no, he didn't send me. I was just looking on his Instagram and I saw the exact setup I wanted. I just threw my drawing away. I was like, dude, just give me that. And it's a trailer, you know, with, you know, electricity in there, some lights. It's a 500 gallon. So, you know, it's big. But in the commercial, I actually need a 1,000 gallon right now. So we need to get something soon. But, you know, it does the job. We also have an old school JNR smoker, which is all wood fired. It just has electric. There's like an on and off switch that just pumps a fan through the chamber. And that'll do some pork butts. And that's actually underneath our hood right now. Mm. But yeah, that Harper 500, you know, that's where we do all our sausage, most of our brisket. And then that's sitting out right out front. He makes some beautiful stuff. Like Drew, Harper Pit Works down there in Costa Mesa.
Awesome. Yeah. And what kind of wood are you cooking with?
You know, blue oak is my favorite. You can't really get post oak around here. I haven't really seen it too much. You can get a lot of valley oak. Almonds plentiful, and that's great. Sometimes it can be a little batchy, a little bit heavy. So you got to really make sure what product you're in there. The brisket can stand up to that. Pork butt can stand up to, you know, whatever, a wet log or here and there. But if you throw some chickens on there, you throw something that's, you know, really delicate to smoke, you'll see a lot of that, and you really get to know, like, the wood that you're using when you have like products like that in there. But yeah, so mainly blue oak, I'm always looking for that. Get the coal bed going with almond, and then just kind of pepper the blue oak on there. And I love that stuff. But always looking for trying to find the wood plug.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just so much, the expenses, like people for the barbecue operation.
The wood supplier is listening.
Right?
Hook him up.
Let's go. Where are you at? I'll come up. Trailer, chainsaw. Let's do it.
And we'll get into your menu. You've got quite the, you know, quite the spread, of course. I'm sure you extended it as you were moving along.
Yeah.
And I kind of noticed, you know, like I've been to a lot of barbecue places and I noticed, you know, how much care, I could tell how much care you put into it because I can tell by just like the, you know, the tenderness of the brisket, the sheen, you know, kind of bark that you get on the ribs and then your sauces. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about each one. So, you know, why it's got brisket, ribs, sausage, beef and pork. And of course, you got pulled pork, and then you've got a bunch of other stuff, but we'll get into those. But tell us about, you know, your style.
I
was going to ask you, you know, did you have some mentors in barbecue, some guys that you looked up to and like, this is a style I like? And you kind of got some mixed styles.
Yeah. So, you know, the easiest way for me to explain it to where more people understand it, I guess I, you know, it's Texas style brisket. So it's, you know, heavy black pepper and with some other stuff in the rub. And then a Carolina style pork. I always really enjoy that with the vinegar sauce. You know, we make like a, it's, we call it a spicy carrot sauce. It's a carrot habanero base mixed with a little garlic, honey, spices. Super good. Cuts the richness of the pork. But yeah, so Texas style brisket mixed with kind of Carolina style pork. Making the sausage in house, super important. You know, I know a lot of guys, like, you know, it's just like a passion. If you're doing craft barbecue, you really got to, and plus, you know, with all that scrap of the brisket, you have to be grinding it fresh and then, you know, linking up sausages back there or else you're going to like go out of business real quick because there's a lot of scrap, especially if you're getting, you know, if you're making the briskets look symmetrical and they smoke better in the smoker that way. So you're going to, you know, end up with a lot of scrap. So yeah, sausage is a huge part of our repertoire. You know, you get, when you're making it, you know, from scratch, you really, really, you know, look at sausage differently because you're like, oh God, you know, when you grow up, you're like, oh, whatever, it's just sausage. Well, you know, you watch your friends put them on the grill back in the day, just burn the shit out of them and popping and everything. But like now it's just like, oh man, this is like a full on three day process. And yeah, it's just, I've been watching a lot of other guys online and everyone's just nerding out on the sausage. It's just, it really is as craft as it gets, you know, with the temperature of the meat, you know, how you're grinding it, how you're mixing it, not over mixing it.
Excuse me. Fat content.
But yep, the fat content, super important, you know. So we trim up all of our lean meat, separate the decal fat, and then we actually do like a little calculation, you know. So ours is around, you know, give or take around 25 to 30% fat. So I'd weigh out the decal separately. Trim out that lean, and then I have, you know, our house spicy link is always the same, so it's kind of in between a hot link and a spicy link, so it's just kind of not going to blow your head off, but it's like, you know, it's, it gives you a nice little spice and kind of goes away from there. But yeah, that's our main stuff, and we kind of shifted to some other stuff to you know, like we got a Baja fish taco because I freaking love those things. I made like a little, you know, growing up going down to, you know, Baja surfing and stuff like that. I'm just like, I need one, you know, and we're right by the water. So we're going to be doing a lot of actually some smoked fish stuff here in 2023. But yeah, that Baja has been great for us. Little smoky aioli on top. Keep it simple. It's our apple cilantro slaw on there with a little bit of, you know, some cilantro sprigs. Goes really well. It's local cod too, which is pretty unique because a lot of people, even restaurants, you know, close by, they use frozen. And this is all local, fresh caught cod here.
I was going to ask you, where do you sort, you know, where does your meat coming from?
Yeah, so I actually get, you know, we get Creek Stone brisket. That's really popular in the barbecue world just because of the uniform. It's really tough to find a uniform brisket that's like, you know, you get some, working with some of these briskets in the past, you open it up and you get one that's like 18 pounds and you open up one that's just like 10 pounds. You're like, what the hell? But Creekstone is actually really, really great in their program. I think even Goldie's number one barbecue joint in Texas Monthly Top 50 this year, they use Creekstone as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I got my hands on that distributor. And then I have a really nice all-natural Berkshire and Duroc breed for the pulled pork and the ribs, which is great too. So yeah, Mary's Chicken, local, So we use that. Yeah, beef ribs, the same from Creekstone. But as far as our produce and stuff, I work with a local farm here in Pescadero, Sims Farm. Super cool people and great stuff for our salads. And
You got brisket. I mean, then you got sandwiches. Mm-hmm. I've had the brisket sandwiches. Yeah. Super good.
Thanks, man.
You got burger, cheesesteak, and then you even got some salads, Caesar, which is always good. And I love your sides, the house pickles. You guys pickle that in-house.
Yep.
Absolutely. And what's the sauce you serve with the sausage?
Is that that's the spicy carrot.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we serve that with that.
It's really good.
Yeah, thanks, man. We're going to be bottling that stuff up here. And that's what 2023 is all about, just kind of bottling up and just kind of seeing how everyone likes it and take it home and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then with your style, so you would say your style is probably Texas and then Carolina?
Yeah, I would say, you know, heavy Texas, I guess, you know, brisket, ribs, sausage. It's like when I go to a barbecue joint, like, you know, I'm always getting the brisket first, then the ribs and the sausage. Everything else after that's a bonus for me. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, I mean, everyone's making good brisket now. So if you're not, you know, making that the brisket the number one thing, then it's just kind of like a, you know, whatever.
But, yeah. Did you do a little tour or anything? Did you do some exploring before?
Yeah. I went out to, you know, I flew into Austin and I was actually for a friend's bachelor party. We went out there, and before I went out with my girlfriend, and we went to La Barbecue. We did Franklin's, we did the Salt Lick. So we did all those traditional spots. And then I actually drove out to Waco and went to this wave pool out there for the bachelor party, which was insane. Nice. But yeah, I mean, looking back on it, I would have went to Waco first just because I rolled into Waco after eating just like pounds of barbecue. And it was just like, oh my God. But it was amazing. I need to get back there because it's just like, you're only scratching the surface, you know. There's so many good spots out there. So I could literally probably just stay there for a month and just trip out, you know.
Yeah, I'm down to go with you. There's,
heck yeah.
I mean, you know, Austin, everyone looks at Aaron, of course, Franklin, who's, you know, the cream of the crop. But, like, there are, you know, plenty of other ones, even stuff. Outskirts of Texas, totally. Out in the, you know, like Snows. I'd love to go to Snows and... obviously Terry Black's is a big one out there too.
Yep. Interstellar, you know.
Interstellar.
Yep. There's just so many.
A couple other ones been talked about. CM Smokehouse is another one being talked about.
Of course, Goldie's, you know, got number one in the top 50. I've been watching those guys are doing. It's really cool. It seems like a cool group of friends that are just working together because when you start doing this barbecue for a living, it's just like, super, super taxing. So it's all about having like that good crew. So they seem to have a really awesome crew of people that are like getting it done over there and doing it at a super high level.
Yeah. And then like, there's also like kind of I wouldn't say new, cause you know, barbecue is not just an American thing. It's, you know, there's Asian barbecue as well.
Yeah.
And there's some Vietnamese guys, I think in Houston.
Yeah. Doing, Koi Barbecue.
Yeah.
Doing some really awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. And Burnt Bean Co, this guy, he's doing some amazing stuff. There's just many.
He's in like LA, I think, right? Or something?
No, Brent Bean. He's out in, somewhere in Texas. I forget exactly where he is.
But there's some really cool stuff. And then, you know, totally. We have a friend of the Breakwater, Sandy.
Oh, yeah.
That you've done some collabs and pop-ups with, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And in 2023, we're going to be actually, haven't released this yet on Instagram, but I'll do it here.
We're gonna be out in a couple months anyway.
Okay yeah, that'll be perfect. We're gonna be doing a pop-up thing in here Monday through Wednesday, I believe, and we're gonna reach out to different makers, you know, foodies and people that just kind of generally in the industry to pop up here Monday through Wednesday. And I think Sandy will be coming back. And then we'll also give an opportunity and a stage, because that's kind of how I, you know what I mean? I did pop-ups in different spots. And it's just, we're open Thursday through Sunday. So might as well, you know, have someone kind of come in through. It's the perfect spot for someone to kind of, that's new and then wants to get their name out there. So we would be stoked to kind of create a stage for people. So that's something we're going to be doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays coming in the new year.
That's super cool.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Are there some weird things you've grilled on the, put on the grill?
Beef tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beef cheeks. Yeah, I mean, that would be probably, I guess, like, you know, considered the weirdest, you know.
Yeah, or I was just saying different than, yeah, you know, different. The usual fare.
Yeah, different. Like I said, we're going to be leaning more into the smoked fish thing, I've been saying for a while. But, yeah, I'm really kind of, you know, been in the background, you know, doing my research on that and just trying to figure out how we're going to present that in the new year. But yeah, we're going to do a little bit more fish forward.
Yeah, and then you've got obviously local brews tap here as well.
Yeah, Hop Dogma, obviously, shout out to them right down the street. You know, Bear Bottle, my other catering kitchen, I was right next door to Bear Bottle, so I got to know those guys. And in between finishing briskets, I'd be down there having a few, just, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're super awesome. Other Brother, crew of skateboarders down there off of in Seaside right before Monterey, super nice people, and then just an amazing brewery. So we're always, yeah, you know, we're always looking to try different stuff. But we have a little, not a big selection, we have 5 different drafts, but we try to rotate them up, and we always try to have, you know, at least a beer from our local guys here, you know, with Hop Dogma being one of the main people. But yeah, like to change it up with the beer for sure.
And then, you know, you've got on the weekends my top favorite, beef plated ribs.
Yeah, of course.
I know it does tend to be a weekend thing, but those are awesome. How long does those take to make?
Those are generally like, those will finish up a little bit before brisket. So for me, I mean, I think they're taking around like 9 hours, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that, give or take. You know, obviously that doesn't include the rest. You got to let them rest, and then you put them to sleep in the cabinet, you know, and for slicing in the morning. But yeah, those beef ribs are hearty and they're nice. Now we have a nice crew of people that are, coming by the restaurant. Hey, you got those beef ribs?
Yeah. gone in 60 seconds for sure.
Yeah. Now we're getting a little fanfare for those things, which is nice, because, you know, there was some time, you know, we put them on in the past and we never knew if people knew about it. And, you know, the community, you know, in the general area of where we're at, they're a little newer to barbecue. So it's kind of, that was part of us coming in here, educating people about, hey, things sell out, guys, you know, don't be mad at us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not us just not making enough food. I heard a lot of the whole, make more food,
yeah,
you know, and then now people are, they're pretty used to it now. You know, so.
And you have to find that balance too.
Yeah.
Of not having too much either.
You got to, you know, and if it's raining on a Thursday down here and we're off the beaten track, because our restaurant is a little hidden, you know, and, you know, it's, you know, people say hidden gem, and, you know, it's exciting for the customer to find that hidden gem. But for the restaurant owner, sometimes it's like, oh man, like we're really trying to get people down, or to even know to come off the highway, because it's kind of a unique location. Let's just say that, you know. So, you know, it's just getting people in here just to see, you know, that there's a barbecue restaurant right here, right by the water here. It's, you know, it's been pretty cool. And meeting the new people that have seemed pretty jazzed up on what we're doing, which is nice.
Yeah, and it's good. Like, you got a good active lifestyle of people coming through, whether it's kayakers, surfers, mountain bikers, just people going to the beach just to get out.
Definitely.
And I tell everyone, don't be hungry listening to this podcast, because because you're going to want to eat something off this menu. Going through some more of your stuff, you got the quesadilla tacos.
Mm-hmm.
So you're throwing those up there.
Yeah, I got a couple guys in the back we work with that are from different parts of Mexico. So we've been training and trying stuff together. You know, I'm always getting, you know, the stamp of approval from those guys, and they're, you know, making new stuff back there as well. But that's something that, you know, we smoke a bunch of pork stock from the knuckle bones, the ribs, and we throw them in the smoker on Sundays after our week, and we make a huge stock, really hearty, super, you know, rich and delicious. And that's where the quesadilla stock is made from, that, the consomme, I should say. But yeah, it's been really popular. People love that. Baja fish, obviously, as I mentioned before, super, super popular. But
I haven't tried those yet. I'm gonna
have to get on those. You gotta get that. I mean, they're you know, we sell them by the each too. So, I mean, you can just try one and it's, but yeah, I mean, I love them.
Yeah. And then tell us about your barbecue sauce. I always, yeah, people want to hear about your barbecue sauce. You got an ancho coffee barbecue sauce.
Yeah, that's something that we've been making for a while now, and we finally kind of nailed it down. You know, but first, you know, if you're not putting the right amount of water within that coffee and the anchos, you're over toasting them, it could be batchy. But now we've actually kind of smoothed it out, and now it's got that kind of like classic barbecue sauce taste, but with more of that, you know, you get that smokiness of the ancho and then that richness of the coffee. So that I think people are appreciating that. And then we got some new ones coming up. But yeah, the spicy carrot sauce is the vinegar-based one that goes really well with the pork. Actually, anything. You throw that on eggs, like freaking stuff's amazing. Like, it's not just because I make it. I freaking love it.
Yeah, yeah. Good. And soon here we'll be able to get a bottle of it, which is super cool.
For sure. We got a funky little logo that we're working on right now. So nice. Yeah, we're fired up on it.
And then, and you got a local guy that prints your stuff for your merch.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Eric over at Black Stamp. He's the man. He's an old school Bay Area guy. He used to be a DJ. I don't want to butcher for it, but I think it's the KZSU in Stamford. It's the college radio station back in the day. He used to play. I used to collect hip hop records back in the day. So he'd play that and reggae. And I'm just, you know, grew up being, you know, listening to a lot of music, and so I met him, and he just some amazing stuff. Yeah, shout out to Eric at Black Stamp. Yeah, he's the man. He's right in there in Princeton too. So, and that's like where I live. So
perfect.
Yeah,
I need some merch, man. To
yeah,
dude, and then, you know, to close out the menu, you got something sweet. You got two items on there: the Texas sheet cake and the cowboy cookie.
Yeah, the cowboy cookies from Fishwife Sweets.
That's Mariah. Right. Yeah.
She just opened up a spot. She's a super nice lady. Does some really, really, really nice sweets. And we smoked some pecans for her and some sea salt. And I just said, hey, just make, you know, can you make a cowboy cookie with these ingredients? And so we just outsourced that to her, which is great.
She's really good.
She's awesome.
Does a breakfast cookie as well, which I've had from
the s'mores cookie's amazing too.
Oh, I haven't had that one.
Unreal. So that's, and then the one we do in house is our Texas sheet cake, which is basically almost, you know, it's like a glorified brownie, but it's mixed with rum and then coffee. And then our smoked pecans on top and smoked sea salt on top of that thing. But that one's killer. But yeah, we wanted to expand our desserts too as well. But it's just, you know, there's only so much you can do and you can focus on before, you know. And so we're working to expand some things here in the new year.
Yum.
With the crew.
And then this is kind of our chance to shout out any of your local spots, any spots you want that you love.
Yeah.
And you know, give some props to out here.
Yeah. You know, I want to thank, you know, I mean, there's so many people, you know, they didn't think this through, but Old Prince and Landing is obviously my buddy Brian and my buddy Pete, lifelong friends of mine. They have a really awesome thing going on over there. They have music, really great bar. You know, you got, you know, Lewis and Lewis over at Sam's Chowder House. They've always been super, super supportive of us. Back in Native Catering days, just, you know, hey, do you need a case of like to goes? Like, come on over and grab him. So he's cool. But if you want to, obviously, I mean, right there, that view is just insane. So I always go over there and just chill out when family's in town. You know, Sandy, of course, is making some good stuff. So she'll be back in the in 2023 doing pop-ups.
She did a brisket pho with you and a sausage platter or plate.
Yeah, right? So we're going to be collabing more. And I think that's something that when the new pop-up guys, you know, the people come into our space in the new year, we're going to try to collab. So it's not just going to be, so it'll be something smoky, you know, in addition to whatever their specialty is. You know, and then in the city too, you know, I got my boy Colin, just opened up Sunset Cantina over there. When you say it, Judah Street?
I think it's on Judah.
It's on Judah, right, yeah. And then you've got Damn Fine Pizza right next door to that, and they're crushing it. He's John Collins, part of that whole crew. You know, Mr. Morgan, the fishing boat, Steve Fitzy. I was a crab fisherman on that boat for one season, and I was just, I'd learned so much about what it takes to really work hard on that boat. And I loved it. But Steve at the Mr. Morgan, hopefully those guys are going to, you know, be able to go out and get some crab soon, because I know that they haven't been able to. But He's super solid. If you can get anything from the Mr. Morgan, that guy's just, yeah, it's amazing. Sims Farms, obviously, what, as I mentioned before, organic produce from them. They make amazing stuff. Yeah, Matt and Jen, shout out to them. Gosh, who am I? I'm missing like probably a thousand people.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know. We can always add them later for the show notes. Yeah,
maybe I could add some stuff on the show notes.
But, you know, and then kind of getting into a couple things I always ask is, a dish or recipe you'd want everyone to try. What's something that, you know, you suggest everyone try?
As far as like just kind of coming into the restaurant or?
Or in general, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with the brisket. It's got to. I mean, if every barbecue spot, you know, just what I always kind of encourage, if you're going to a barbecue place, don't just go and get a sandwich right off the bat. You know what I mean?
Chicken.
Yeah, go and get, you know, get brisket, ribs, and sausage. Get your sauces on the side. Pick a few sides. Try the meat. You know, then dip it in the sauce, you know what I mean? But obviously, there's no rules, and I hate, you know, pretentious gatekeepy things that are happening and I'm seeing all these days. But just go in and get a nice platter of barbecue and then get some sides and then see what you like, you know? And I'm never one to say, oh, my barbecue is the best. There's so many different barbecue people. There's so many different flavors out there. You might like the brisket from one spot, but then you like the ribs from the other. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just different. But yeah, definitely always start with the brisket, you know, ribs, sausage. Those are the main things. And then branch out from there. You know what I mean? And then get to know the people, especially at your barbecue spot, getting to know your people. Cause this is a different thing. You know, this takes a long time to cook this, you know, the preparation, the wood, the, you know, the labor, all that stuff. So, you know, we've always wanted to be that barbecue joint in the Bay Area that people are like, yeah, that's my barbecue spot. You know, that's at least one of the top, you know, barbecue spots that I go to. And every time I'm in town, we want to be a destination spot for people that are in town that are coming here. They're not just coming for, you know, fried fish and chips or the clam chowder. They're also coming to, hey, dude, I'm going to get some barbecue right by the beach. I'm going to take it. I'm going to go sit on the beach and chill out, you know, with my family, you know, so that's kind of like our goal is to get these loyal customers that we know their name, they know ours, you know what I mean? And, you know, so that's kind of something that I really have always aspired to with the barbecue joint.
Yeah, and you've done that. I mean, I was here, you know, a month ago, and that's how we kind of ran into each other. And I'd been here before. I just didn't run into you, but, like, it was just, yeah, there's all those other spots, but I was like, I got to get some barbecue before I go home. I was crabbing that day, and, like, I was like, I got to get something to eat, you know? You don't eat on that boat, otherwise you get seasick.
Yep. Gotta have those sea legs.
Yep. And then, you know, one of my favorite things is gear. You know, everything's gear-centric. This podcast is gear-centric. Yeah. What are some of the favorite things, tools in the kitchen or yourself that you, you know, I'd say besides the Harper smoker, which is your main item, what's any, toy. Like, tools that you like to use all the time?
Oh, man.
Kind of an EDC thing, you know, every day.
Yeah, I mean, I have my little Dexter knife, you know, that I trim with, keep it nice and sharp, trimming, and that whole, the butchery side of the barbecue is just really just something that is a huge part of what I do, which I'll be doing some more videos on that. So yeah, just, you know, my standard little trimming knife. I obviously,
those like filet knives
kind of, yeah, it's, I mean, I think it'd be more classified as like a boning knife. But yeah, that's what I like. I've been seeing people using like slicers trimming briskets now. I'm like, what the hell? But I mean, whatever suits your hands and whatever you like. But for me, I like that Dexter knife because they're cheap and, you know, you can get them nice and sharp, and if you need to get a new one, it's not the end of the world, you know what I mean? So yep. I kind of steer clear away from the real expensive stuff when it comes to something like that. Maybe I would splurge on a chef's knife, but I just have a Wusthof, which is suited me pretty nice. Chef knife, nice heavy handle. I've been seeing a lot of cool little things out of that company called MillScale. Are you familiar with them?
Yeah.
They've been doing some cool stuff, like burger presses, like just like they're such a cool company.
Yeah. So they make some premier smokers too.
Oh my God. Them and Moberg. And I'm Moberg, like, oh my God. I'm just like, yeah, like that's something that I really, hopefully one day I can get me one of them.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And then, you know, we'll kind of close it out to you. You know, the floor is yours. You give any advice. Let's talk about your promotions. Anything you got coming up? Obviously, you got some projects coming
Floor is yours, man. It's all yours.
Yeah. So we're going to be focusing on events. And as I said, with the pop-ups and stuff in 2023, music, you know, we have the skateboard ramp down the street. We have big, deep roots in skateboarding and surfing. Current employees, past employees. We're going to have a skate jam down here, make it a yearly thing, working on a block party here on this street. So that's something that I'm going to kind of tap in, and I'm going to try to reach out to a lot of these other Bay Area guys I'm seeing kind of doing their thing, and they're in their backyard. They're doing their thing. I'm going to try to get them to come down. We could all have kind of like a little mini barbecue / music, just kind of like a little
festival.
Annual thing. Mm-hmm. So that's, I love events. I love kind of the start and finish of them. I've loved them ever since I got in the catering world. And so that's something that we really want to do, bringing the music involved, the beer, the skateboarding, obviously the barbecue will be number one. But then, yeah, just kind of working with some other guys and barbecue dudes and getting to know them and just kind of seeing where that goes. What else here? Just be on the lookout for our little schedule of different specials. And then just a little word of advice. I've seen a lot of people out there, following the blogs. There's a lot of these, you don't get caught up in the little rules. You got to have 16 mesh pepper. You got to do, you know what I mean? Just get out there and just do it, man. You'd be surprised on all that, these rules that can be broken, and just cook and then just have fun with it, man. Like, it's just, that's what barbecue's all about, is bringing people together and, each cook is different, each brisket's different, and that's what's the beautiful part of it all, is it's just like super unique. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that this style of cooking barbecue in general is like really, even since, way back in the day, is just like one of our last, just one of our basically traditions, mm-hmm. it's tradition, and it's really cool just meeting the people through barbecue, and I'm really enjoying just kind of continuing that.
100%. Yeah. On that note, you can find Breakwater Barbecue on their website, which is breakwaterbbq.com, and then their Breakwater Barbecue all the way spelled out on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Everybody. Appreciate all right. it. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate you.
We're out.
Bye.
And as a quick reminder, the restaurants and gear talked about on each episode can be found on my website, foodoriginspodcast.com. I appreciate your support, and thanks for listening.